Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listing Podcast. I'm Stu with you, joining me always, Christopher Glasson. You alright?
Yeah.
Good.
I'm not alright. No, I went to Costa today, that's why I was late. So right. I'm like an hour late because I thought, I'll just jump to Costa, treat myself. And got a coffee and thought, oh, there's a cheese twist there. Molly wasn't about because she's been feeding me like porridge with water. And she handed me the twist, cheese twist. As I walked away, the bag was like a tiny little square bag. She'd broke the cheese twist in half. Who does that? What kind of monster would do that? And I think she, it just tasted awful as well. Yeah.
I'm still not feeling the fact that you had cheese for breakfast.
You're not a cheese in the morning, man.
I love cheese, but not for breakfast. Breakfast is like, it's more sweeter than savoury, isn't it? Let's not get into it because we've got a guest in today. We should.
I want to hear about it.
Let's bring in. Tom, when you go to a hotel, or you go on holiday, right? And you see, generally, other Europeans, not people from the UK, are generally eating that kind of ham and cheese based bread breakfast. Where's your stance on that?
Well, you know, it's not what we were raised with, is it? So obviously, it seems perverted to us.
That's it. Coming over here with their newfangled breakfasts.
Yeah, or going over there with their newfangled breakfast, or going over there with their traditional breakfast. I don't care. Either way, it's wrong.
That's the voice of Tom Ward, everyone.
So, hello, Tom.
Tom, thanks for coming on.
Good morning. Delighted to be up at 10:30. That's earlier than I normally get out of bed. So,
Was you gigging last night, or are you just lazy?
No. Just don't go to bed. Just don't go to bed until 2 in the morning. Like to sort of drift awake. I don't even like an alarm. I just sort of like my body to...
Naturally.
Just to sort of tell me when it's ready. No, so,
what are you doing
to sort of prize myself out of bed this morning for this.
What are you doing at 2 a.m? Are you like, are you lost in the YouTube hole?
In this case, I was researching the pod. I'm a businessman. I've got a long-term plan. I want to show that I'm an indispensable member of any podcast or anything that I'm invited on. So
splendid.
I was preparing last night, I will tell you, I was preparing my list with my pregnant girlfriend.
Fantastic.
Well, congratulations.
That actually doesn't sound very good.
Well, Tom, what top five have you decided to do for us today?
I've decided to do a list about the top five reasons why I am excited to never live in a house share ever again.
That's so fucking
Amen.
Good.
Amen. That is an exceptional top five.
How is your top five? Are your five ranked from like, this is the one at number one that I'm most happy I'm never going to have to endure again? Or is it just five absolute solid gold reasons?
It's five solid gold reasons, but I will try and put them in order. I'll try and save the most appalling reason for last.
Splendid.
I think that's only fair, isn't it?
Okay. Well, let's kick off.
Let's go
with number five.
Let's do number five.
Number five is someone using your mug.
Unforgivable.
Unforgivable. You've got your mug. You know, I have a big Sports Direct mug. I don't have it today because it's not my property.
It's too heavy to carry around.
Yeah. And yeah, just it'll go missing. And I'll know that it's in someone's room and with their dirty little mouth all around it and their grubby little fingers on the on the handle. And I'm just like, get off. It's you know, your aura is all over your mug.
It's a bit like, you know, the safety of your own toilet, isn't it? There's nothing like having a poo on your own throne.
Well, I don't get this. This is the one that I like. Toilet, yeah, I get all that. But who's hiding one of them mugs? Because they're fucking huge. They're not easy to kind of to smuggle somewhere. I don't give a shit about mugs. I just think like once it's been through the, you know, had a bit of fairy washing up liquid on it, it's all good to go. It don't really matter. What are you like really, really phased about this?
I don't like it. I don't like someone using my mug.
What if you can't find your mug? Will you use someone else's?
I'll just drink it straight from the kettle. I don't want anything else. Yeah. Well, it's an identity stamp, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, this is who I am. I'm not saying you should be too identified with a mug. That's not a good sign for mental health. But, you know, I'm using this person's mug. They've got tea time on their mug. This is not my style.
It's not the image I want to bow into the world.
No, it's not. I can barely even get a liter in there.
Mm.
You can clean that in a couple of minutes. That Sports Direct one, that's a responsibility. That takes a whole Brillo pad. The Brillo pad ain't even that much useless.
You've got to pop that on the patio and jet wash that.
I know what you mean, Tom. My last house share was in Tufnell Park. And I thought I'd get obviously I was in Urban Outfitters, and I saw a sort of like, it was like a clap camera lens instead of like that you could have as a mug. And I thought, oh, that's cool. That'll make me look arty if I ever get, you know, a girl back to the house. And I saw that mug once and that was it. My friends was just yoinked it all the time. So yeah, it was just too much. I was always looking for it after that point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You saw the potential of that mug and so did your flatmate.
Who were all cameramen, you know, and I was an absolute fraud, Tom, as well. Like, I had no association with cameras. I just thought it looked cool. It was more appropriate they had it, really.
Well, it's no worse than wearing skater shoes if you're not a skater, is it? Or having a beard if you're not a log cutter.
I love the fact I've
got my Vans on today.
Really upsetting.
I was a skater, I guess, but a 50-year-old man's got no place on a skateboard anymore.
I'd like to see you on one.
Not anymore, mate. Not anymore. Not quite as agile as I once was. Tom, in regards to, you know, obviously you're a comedian. What's your stance on the hilarious kind of comedy mugs that people buy each other at, like, kind of work Christmas secret Santas and stuff like that?
I think leave the jokes to the individual. I think if you're getting mugs with jokes on it, that probably means that you do work in middle management.
Mm.
And that is your release.
Mm.
But luckily for me, I'm able to, you know, have fun in other ways that don't require novelty items.
Mm.
I think those mugs are atrocious. If anyone gives me one, I'll know for sure that they're not a friend.
Yeah.
But they don't really know me, understand me. It's just a total failure of understanding and comprehension.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
You're welcome to it. You know, we need those people. They keep the economy going. So good luck to them and let them have their mugs.
Mm. What sort of, is this like, you don't have to be crazy
to work here, but it helps. Yeah. Or the occasional ones where when you tip it up, like sometimes it won't even have cunt. It'll just have like C, then like a little apostrophe N.
Yeah, because you can't have that. You'll get fired, wouldn't you, in an office.
Yes, that's too much. Yeah. But
even for the asterisks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So Tom, you do stand. How long have you done stand-up for?
13 years.
13 years. And I mean, I've got to say, Tom, you're one of my favourite stand-ups I've seen out. Your stuff is really, really funny, mate. When Stu sent me the invite link to this, I'd actually gone, I did try and arrange this with you pre-COVID. And yeah, it never went anywhere. And I was like, obviously Stu years later would manage to do it and it would still take me like 4 or 5 years to get it together. So when I saw it, I said, oh, fuck's sake, like to Stu's arrange that, because I was like, we should get Tom Mould on.
We've got to thank No Need to Shout for that.
It was Emma that
sorted this out.
Thanks, Emma.
What happened in 2019? Is there a paper trail?
It must have been bad because he was calling you a right cunt.
Do you know what, Tom? Like, you were one of the very few people I actually like, for right, I'll ask, because Stu will always say, get people on. My missus will always be like, ask people. And then I asked you, you said, yeah, we had a few exchanges. We actually had it booked in. And then Stu cancelled it.
You can make it.
And then I was just my usual terrible self at rearranging shit.
Right.
So, yeah, as soon as I saw that come through, I thought, oh, fucking hell, this is brilliant, but I should have sorted that out.
Essentially, like, it's my fault then. Years.
Yeah, it's your fault. Right. Basically, what I wanted to get to, passive aggressive.
I'm glad it wasn't me. I'm glad I wasn't just horrible in 2019 and you've got like an email you're going to put on the screen. Is it worse? Is it worse to get a rude email response or no response at all? Which do you prefer?
I had a really rude email response.
I like rude emails, if I'm honest.
Years ago, I ran a music fanzine, and I don't know if any of you are familiar with the artist Julian Cope, but I'm a big fan of him. And I sent an email to Julian Cope saying, look, I'm a big fan of what you do. Like, is there any chance I could send you some questions and you'd let me do an article on you, my little indie fanzine? His email was sat along the lines of, rather than just go like, cheers for the email, it's not for me, or ignoring me. He just went, why the fuck would I want to do anything to do with a fucking fanzine? Please don't ever contact me again, you cunt. It was along them lines. And now you just think, oh, mate.
Like, broke your heart.
You've just ruined the teardrop explosion for me now. I can't ever listen to your music again now because you were such a fucking horrible bastard.
Wow. Yeah. How can you get to that point?
I don't know.
In your life?
I don't know. I think he's had quite well documented moments where he's enjoyed some of the finer things in life. Maybe that was part and parcel of why he responded like that. I don't know. Pretty fucking shit, though.
We were talking about how... Sorry, go on, Tom.
No, I was just going to say, when you're dealing with your heroes and they mug you off, it's heartbreaking. Mm. It's the end of an era.
Yeah, it was pretty rubbish. I've got a music podcast and there's some people that are my favourite artists that I think... I don't want them to come on here because if they do and they're bastards, it's just going to ruin their music for me.
Yeah. Even if they're slightly rude to you or it's just like, oh, no. Keep them in that enigmatic bubble where they're kind of like a god and you'd never encounter them in the real world.
Exactly. That's a safe space there.
Yeah. Rather, I met Vic Reeves and I was just a bit excitable and he just took the piss out of me. I was like, okay, yeah. I mean, he deserved to. He should have done. But I was like, okay, yeah, that's taking the edge off shooting stars a little bit. You know what I mean? Just keep him over there.
You know that Bob will be lovely, though.
Yeah.
Who would you rather in a house share, Vic or Bob?
Bob. Bob Mortimer's the funniest man ever. Like, Bob Mortimer's just beyond funny. I mean, I guess Vic could probably, he'd have some nice kind of art on the walls, but I don't know if I want chaffinches and wood pigeons like all over my front room. I don't know.
Yeah. I reckon he'd walk around in no trousers, wearing Wellington boots and an untucked shirt.
Oh, morning.
And he'd have a shotgun.
Half cocked.
Yeah, just to go to the kitchen.
Yeah, they'd just be your mug just shot to pieces on the side. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Just bits of Sports Direct branding in China all over the walls.
I thought it was a monstrosity, that.
All right, well, you got a number four, Tom?
I would say, all right. Well, having to wear trousers to leave the room is obviously obviously a down, but I don't think that deserves to get into the list. I'm going to say the interconnectedness of the house is as a whole. I don't mean the people, I mean the actual house itself is all interconnected. It's like a really annoying ecosystem. So if someone's washing up when you're in the shower, the shower goes cold.
Yeah.
And it doesn't only go cold, it goes to a slow cold. So if there's a fast cold, at least you get an exhilarating experience. But a dripping cold shower when you were just in the middle of a hot shower, just because someone's washing up downstairs, that's annoying. When the washing machine's on, the toilet water in the bog recedes. That was in my old house. The water in the toilet receded like a low tide. And it would gargle as well. It would gargle and recede.
You had a tidal toilet.
I had a tidal toilet if the washing machine was on.
Just to reveal a few more skids that one of your flatmates had left.
Yeah. And anything you're adding to the toilet just sits there like a grim scene from Broken in Britain. It's like, come on, turn the washing machine off. I'm doing a poo. Do you mind?
Well, I've never lived in a house share. I've obviously
got a couple of quid, didn't you?
Obviously, I'm married with two grown up. I live in a house with four adults, with four of us, you know, in total. So all of them things that you've mentioned are all things that you know present themselves in my daily life, but not with kind of people that.
Potential strangers.
I mean, you've lived in multiple shared accommodations.
It's I've not rated it much, and I think there's always that problem of like, I think everyone when you're younger is testing the other person's limits of how's messy is too messy, and mine is my limit is high. My bar for cleanliness is higher than most people's, so I'm going to break first. And it's just me just like in a challenge of wits against people who don't give a fuck that, you know, they've left their Sports Direct mug on the fucking side. Mm. And in the end, I'm going to end up cleaning up their whole dinner. And it's just it's just too much for me, man.
Yeah, because it's just there for days otherwise.
It's there for days. And they're like, I was going to do that. And I'm like, fuck off, mate. It's like,
It's grown a plant in it since they last. So tomato plants always spring up, don't they, from somewhere. And they're like, there'll be a tea bag left in a mug and it'll stick to it. And then a month later, there'll be a bloody white tomato plant bursting through.
Oh, Tom, I feel your pain.
How many times have you experienced the hash here, Tom?
Many times. 21 years. And it's just coming to an end now as of breaking into this property today. I don't know, but I'm moving into a flat with my girlfriend next week. So that's why I'm thinking about it a lot. But I've been in flat shares 21 years.
Wow. In and around London?
In London. And always part, sometimes based on, you know, a mate having a spare room, most of the time Gumtree, most of the time strangers.
Yep.
You know, just a new thing and having to get used to new people. And the last one I had was actually the most harmonious, and even that was bloody annoying.
I mean,
it's always something.
It's essentially fucking Big Brother, isn't it? You're thrust in a house of strangers and they slowly unfold and you see all their weird quirks and things that you'd never choose to be surrounded by if you had the choice,
And then they see all your weird quirks as well.
Yeah, I guess. But I guess you never think you've got them, do you?
Wanking in the kitchen.
Yeah, but they're yours, so it doesn't count. Wanking in the kitchen, exactly. That's one of my quirks. It's very quirky, that.
Straight into the sink. It's no clean-up required.
Don't kink shame me. this reframe it as a sort of modern thing.
That's it. That's what all the youngsters are doing. I saw someone doing it on TikTok. Do the people that you live with, do they know you're, like, I'm guessing they know that you're a comic. Do you feel like, is there any additional pressure? Do they think that you've got to be like hysterical around the house?
I always find that because like we've all met, like as comedians, you've all met people in real life who are really, like basic, and if you're not making a joke every 4 seconds, they're like, oh, you're not very funny in real life, are you? My mug's funnier than you. Look, I've got a witty mug. It's like, yeah, great. But there is a pressure to be funny in real life because you do meet some people, and if you're just chilling out and they're like, oh, you don't seem like a comedian. It's like, well, It's like you don't want someone to be on all the time. Yeah. That's just exhausting and needy. And, you know, it's like, go away, chill out. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, but at home, I just can't be asked. Let them think what they want. If they think I'm dry, so be it. Also, why should the pressure be on me to make the entertainment? You know, you got to bring something as well. If we don't vibe, then we don't vibe. It's not down to me to manufacture a bloody rapport with jokes every few seconds and little quips and callbacks.
Have you house shared with other comedians?
No, we'd never do that.
Why's that?
I don't want to live with those depressing bastards. I know what's going on under the bloody bonnet.
You've seen behind the curtain, haven't you?
Exactly. It's an ocean of melancholy and childhood pain and introversion. And then they're practicing their personality in their room, ready for the stage, the real them. Getting their improv all ready.
Oh, fantastic.
So, yeah, I don't want to live with them. I want to live with people that are ideally never in, so that usually comedians are in and around the house during the day. So I want normal people who go out. That's my ideal flatmate. They get up, they go out. They come home knackered at 10 o'clock.
Straight to bed.
Go to bed.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Like ghosts.
And then you can walk around in your underpants, can't you? Yeah. Like if they're out most of the day, and I think there's an added thrill to that, knowing that you're walking around a little bit naked and they're just doing their normal job. And you're just, you have a strange working hour. It's like when we used to run the clubs and like Kat would go out to her normal job and I'd just be a fucking disgusting around her house like for most of the day. It's great.
Like that as a noun, a fucking disgusting.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, you think about them in their bloody trousers out there. Those losers out in the world with their trousers on.
Not me, mate.
Working for the man.
Our buddy Pip, he's a guy who likes to see how long he can get through the day without having to dress.
Yeah.
He lives on his own.
Yeah.
And he's very successful at it. But he used to house share and with a guy that we used to be friends with, we no longer are for a number of reasons, but we were talking about the cleaning of doing the washing up. Like Pip just watched this guy's plate just sit there for like a month in the kitchen. This is when we lived in like Wolverhampton. And he said, Ben, you've got to clean this stuff up. So Ben said, yeah, all right, I'll get around to it. Ben just threw away all the plates. Just fucking threw them away.
Cleaned up.
Yeah, he did clean up. Yeah. So, yeah, God.
I don't think I've got the temperament to be able to deal with stuff like that. I think I'd get a little bit upset if I was just having to endure just laziness like that.
Me being a fucking disgusting.
Yeah. Oh, I wouldn't care if you were strolling around in your fucking...
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Strides when I was at work, I wouldn't care as long as you just popped them back on when I got in.
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm respectful.
Yeah,
this is the frantic sound of zip going up as you arrive. I was too. It's like,
sorry, give me a minute.
The door's on one of them little catches, and I can't get in.
1 minute, don't.
Just popping my trousers on.
Nothing to see here, mate.
Don't look at
sound
me.
Of magazines being scurried under a bed.
Yeah. Toilet just flushing about three times.
Toilet flop.
Was that your number four? Was that the ecosystem?
Yeah. Number three.
That was number four.
Number three, what you got, mate?
Number three is having to be on all the time, which is kind of what we've touched on. Well, you know, you never know when you're going to bump into someone. Obviously in the kitchen usually, and then suddenly you've got to have a chat.
Yeah.
And I'm not in the mood some days. Some days I'm just drifting around. I want to be totally quiet. I can't be asked. Actually, I did have a flatmate, going back to the previous point, who only ever appeared when I wasn't wearing trousers. It was like a magic trick. And literally I'd decide to go, I'd run to the kitchen, get a glass of water, door would open, in she'd come. It was every single time. And then one day, I was in the kitchen with my girlfriend, and then someone came through the front door, and I said, I wonder who that is. And she said, well, it won't be Claire because you're wearing trousers. So it became well known that Claire would only appear when I was not wearing trousers. But anyway, yes, having to be in the, having to suddenly be in a conversation with someone when you were just trying to live your little life. You've just woken up, you're making a piece of toast, you're not in the mood, you're still half asleep, you're processing. your dream. You're still in your dream. And then suddenly you've got to deal with someone. Morning. How are you? You're all right. Anyone who asks you, how are you, is the first question of the day. It's like, I don't know yet. Why are you asking me for a summary of my life and feelings now?
How are you yourself?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to talk to you, but I can't say that. So I'm living a lie. You know, it's just the whole thing. I don't want to, even if I like them, I don't want to deal with them. And even if I clock that they don't want to deal with me, that makes me hate them. Because it's like, it's me, so yeah, you should be excited to see me.
Yeah, but just, of course.
It's a lose-lose situation, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't. I just, yeah. You should be happy that I'm there because I'm great.
Yeah.
But don't engage me in a conversation for long. But if you do, keep it brief, no questions,
yeah,
and then fuck off.
Maybe a nod of approval
yeah,
to feed your sort of like ego.
And then
just fuck off out the kitchen so you can make, you know, whatever you're going to make.
Exactly. Though I did have a flatmate who didn't talk, and we would be in the kitchen together, and he would be chopping. He'd make a meal. Every meal was he made it. He didn't just pour it out of a box or take it out of a freezer. He'd actually chop it all on a board, season it. The sound of that, you know, the pepper and all that. He would be in the kitchen, and we wouldn't talk. That was worse. That was worse.
What did you think? Get on.
We and him didn't vibe at all. But he just decided that he wouldn't talk to me at all. So we'd have times where we'd be in the kitchen for 5-10 minutes, and it felt like a year. Just standing side by side shopping is agonizing. I can feel my stomach churning even thinking about it. Why is that so painful? Being in a room with someone and not talking. I don't know why.
I cannot deal with stuff like that. The thought of being near someone and not being able to just go, all right.
I'm all right with me mates. I don't have to talk to my mates. So me and Molly, we won't talk for days. It's fucking fantastic.
But like, is that your missus?
Yeah. We'll just be silent. She broke my heart last night. She went, yeah, I really like my own company. No, I like being on my own. And I just thought, oh, shit.
Might have played this wrong.
I should get out of my basement a bit more to come and talk to her. But no, like, you know, with your friends, I'm way more comfortable in silence. But when it's someone you don't know, or if you know that, I don't know, if they've got a problem with you and they're not talking, that is emotional abuse. The only difference to that is I had a flat in Basildon and my mate brought out my other mate. So then I was sharing it with another friend. And then that relationship kind of deteriorated. And it was like, we were having these just dead silences, like you were saying. And it was fucking awkward, Tom. And like, it's funny because I actually understand his position a bit more now. Like, I'd have mates over and then he'd just be like, he wouldn't talk and then he'd just go in his room and he'd close the door. And like, more now as I'm older and I'm a little bit more like happy with my own, just being on my own.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, maybe I was just driving him fucking crazy. I mean, this was at 4 a.m. I was having people over, so maybe there was something to it.
I've generally found that I've had to kind of reiterate to you what a cunt you are, so I'm sure, and I don't even live with you, so I imagine if you're living with you, you'd be insufferable.
I am insufferable, mate.
Yeah, never live with a mate. Never live with a friend. It is the key to ruin, man. You just, the little things will just destroy all the beautiful... All the profound, everything that you built, just undone by just like domestic mundanity.
Yes. The mystery or the camaraderie is gone. Like Mark would be like, why are you writing another list?
Yeah.
Mate, it's just because I can't keep track of things.
10 reasons
he's
I
like,
hate
I'm
Mark.
So upset that I write lists. And I'm like, that's the only thing you'd be bothered about if you saw me every day. I mean, the list was all of his exes I'd smashed.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he was getting annoyed at. But yeah, we'd get so annoyed about, like you say, like mundane things that really shouldn't be a problem. But yeah. Well, you've got all that to look forward to, Tom, with your pregnant girlfriend.
Yeah, she doesn't like to wash up. She doesn't like to do anything. So yeah, I'm looking forward to the rest of my life, really. I'm going to look back on flat shares with nostalgia in that weird way that the memory just sort of changes shape according to how bad now is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Too late for you, Stu, mate, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really too late.
Yeah. I think when my missus finally does get rid of me, I reckon, because I'm not very good on my own. I hate my own company. Yeah, yeah. Like, I exhaust my thoughts within about a minute. And then I just get restless. And that thing that you were saying, Tom, about being in the kitchen with someone, like, I don't know what your relationship is with this, but I can't handle if someone don't like me. I just think, certainly if I've done nothing that I'm aware I've done wrong, I cannot let that go. And like, and I'll just be like, all right. And I will force that until like it's just like, no, I just really don't like who you are. Oh, okay, fair enough. And that'll put that to bed.
It's because you're insecure, isn't it?
But yeah, it's exactly that, yeah. Like,
I know that, yeah. It's a horrible feeling, isn't it? And you just can't understand it. You're like, what? Let me try and change it.
Yeah.
Just give me a minute. I'll win you round. I'll try on the, let me try on some other versions.
Yeah, I'll be someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we're having this conversation. I'm just talking about in day-to-day life. And so I like to think I'm not generally sort of judged that much. But you walk on stage most nights. And I'm sure, you know, there's plenty of people that probably go to comedy shows that when you walk out, they're like, right, well, make me fucking laugh then.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah, it's a show.
And if you don't suit their brand of humour, like, you know, do you have haters, and how do you kind of deal with that?
Well, luckily I haven't had any real haters in the last year or so. I had a couple of months where it got a bit hairy, and I don't really know why. I think there were some themes I was doing on stage that were maybe a little contentious, and people were just hearing words and then making assumptions. You know, that we live in a sort of quite a sensitive time, so you can say... You can just say a word and they'll be like, oh, are you one of the baddies? And they don't really listen to your... So there was a bit of like shouting I got and stuff, which was really horrible. Really horrible. Being told to get off and, yeah, I was like, oh, not had that before. And that really hurt. But luckily, I don't seem to make too many people angry. And it's like you try not to look out at the person in the crowd who's got, you know, face that's not interested or not engaged. Just try not to look at them, because if you do, they get under your skin.
Yeah.
Because if you can have a great gig, you can just clock two people that were just like sitting quietly watching, and you assume that they're not enjoying it if they're not laughing, or that they're judging you, or that they're about to write a stern email, or they're about to scream, get off, you know.
Yeah.
But you project a lot onto people. But
yeah.
Hey, if you've got 80, 90% of the crowd with you, then you're doing all right.
And they most crowds want, like, I had a mate who was doing a best man speech and he was fucking really nervous about it. I'm like, no one wants, and I wonder if this is similar for comedians, that no one wants you to fail as a best man. They want to support you and make, they want to laugh, right? So a lot of people are invested in encouraging the comedian to make them laugh. And hopefully that's what most crowds are. You're obviously going to get the odd person who goes, oh, that's not funny. And I always just think you're about to get your arsehole ripped open by that comic. But is there that? Do you get that feeling from like the crowds that they want to see you do well?
Yeah. Most of the time. Yeah, most of the time. Sometimes you walk into a room where there's just too many of a certain type of man who thinks they could have done it, or that they could do it, and they're all watching you. If there's like, there's just slightly too many of them, then the vibe is feral. It's a bit like, go on in.
Oh, what? God.
You know, who are you? But yeah, it's not common. Mm. And if you mug them off immediately, which is what I do, if I get any sense of like evil off a table, I'm straight in there trashing them as hard as I can. You know, for whatever reason, they don't see me as a threat, because I probably don't seem like the kind of guy that would really hurt them. And they know fundamentally I'm soft, but I just go straight in on them and just insult them or whatever. Because it's like, they are the problem and you've got to deal with them.
Yeah.
You mentioning obviously stand up and then talking about best man speeches. I remember.
Don't lie, you've never been best man.
I have actually.
No, you haven't.
And it wasn't the greatest of speeches. But we've got a friend. I don't know if you know the comedian Josh Weller.
Yes.
And so
brilliant.
Josh was best man for another comedian, Red Richardson.
Oh.
And Josh was telling us about writing the speech, and I don't know if you know Chris, but Red's daddy's Pete Richardson, who wrote a lot of the comic strip stuff, and Red married, if I'm correct, Rick Mail's daughter. And so imagine the fucking audience at that best man speech, and you've got to try and be funny. Yeah. And you're at this point, I think Josh was just moving from music to try stand up, and you've got the Comic Strip Presents team there. And like, and you have got to make all of them comedians laugh with this, the pinnacle of the speeches. Fuck that, man.
Yeah.
Josh's move to comic is brilliant. Like, obviously he did all the music stuff, and he was great there. And me and Molly saw him when he did like his first few stand-ups. We went to, you know, give him a bit of support and that. And I liked him then. And then, but he came down closer to Margate. I don't know, it was down somewhere down there where we're at. Probably about 12 months ago, and he did his stand-up there. And oh my God, he just wiped the, he just killed it. It was, his comedy has just come so far. He's just a cracking lad. And did you do a podcast or radio show with him?
Done some radio shows with Josh, a few years back. Right, Tom. Oh, yeah. Number.
It's not about Josh. Can we just stop?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, sorry
about Josh. I know he's good. I know he's good and all that. Yeah. I actually had to follow him at Shine Festival, and he's a good one to follow because he gets such a strong reaction that it makes you up your game.
Yeah. Right.
I was watching him going, oh, fuck, is he playing? We're playing to music crowds.
Yeah. Right.
You know, like a music crowd of exactly the kind of people that would get it. Yeah. Get what we're doing. You know, what we want to. So it's like you can go on and make really niche jokes about music, bands and stuff. And he was doing all that. And I was like, okay, great. I was shitting it. I was like, I've got to go on after this. So I just went on and started talking about the House of Love. The first time in my life I could talk about the House of Love, a band that no one seems to remember or know. But they were all like, yeah. Creation Records, 1989. And then they're talking about all the men in the audience farting when I was trying to watch them the previous night. Well, that sort of middle-aged cokey fart. And they were like, yeah, that's us. I was like, okay, cool. I found my brows.
Talking about cokey farts, have you seen the Charlatans documentary?
No.
Check that
Is it come out? Just come out.
It's not a doc. It's an audio book. But yeah, I would definitely suggest checking out some of, it's called Telling Stories. It's Tim Burgess's book.
Oh,
but there's
doing coke up there, like up a straw in her own arse and that sort of stuff on a tour bus.
That's right. Yeah. It's quite an interesting part of the book. Incidentally, how about a House of Love?
Yeah, great. I love the House of Love. Yeah. I can't get enough, mate. I'll get enough. Even though he's kicked out all the rest of the band.
Yeah.
It's just him.
He's a tricky fella, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. But great. Still great. Always been old, so he just looks like older.
What are they? I mean, I've never been to a Shine Festival, and as a 50-year-old man that basically had his greatest memories around the early 90s, the idea of going to a festival where I can then go back to a bed kind of appeals to me. Is it any good?
It's all right. Yeah. I was a bit, when I arrived, I was looking around going, look at the state of this. It does feel a bit like, oh God. But then you see so many bands that you like and you just realize, oh, it's depressing about it. It's just realizing what lies ahead for you as a man.
Yeah.
You just go, oh, that's me in 10 years.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's me wearing a Fred Perry jacket with a bald head. And that's me. That'll be me, you know? Some loafers and walking around with jeans tighter than they should be for a man with my body shape when I'm 53. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I bet there's a lot of boot cuts still walking around there.
Yeah, there are. Yeah.
Stereophonics to a t-shirt.
Yeah, there's a lot of men who look like they're in Ocean Colour Scene, but all that's left of their hair is the wispy bits.
Yeah.
That's all that's there. Those bits are there. And then the rest is kind of like a sort of field, an old car park with weeds.
That first day, I saw a picture of, like, it was a collage on social media of all people with like their own interpretation of a Paul Weller haircut, just with the title Wellends. Was one of the greatest days of my life. I just thought, Welland, who come up with that? That's fucking great.
I don't think you got to worry about going bald, though. Tom,
no, you got a fine head of hair there, mate.
Look at that mane.
Now, yeah. We'll see how it plays out. We'll see how it plays out. About to have a baby, so, you know, fatigue. Yeah, might kick in. We'll see.
Right, are we at the top spot?
No, we're at number two, aren't we?
Where are we at?
I think we're at two, but we might be at one.
I mean, after talking about the person that is doesn't like to talk, that does feel like it should be number one, doesn't it? That's just that is, as you say, it's emotional abuse. I'm going to have to, we're moving some things around. I think the garden, it might sound a bit churlish to talk about a garden because it sounds a bit ungrateful if you've got a garden.
Be churlish, Tom.
Garden for me is always a very sad place. the garden basically is like a sort of shrine full of crap, the reminding you of what could have been. So every time you look out the back door, there's this horrible memory, this kind of mirror world of what could have been for the garden and for the flat. And it's all playing out as a sort of subplot sort of drama through the furnishings that are dumped out there, through the state of the plants, just general crap that's on its side. There'll be a barbecue that's rotting,
rusting.
Yeah. There'll be a fire pit that's no longer in use. There'll be flower beds that were planted by someone at some point in the hope of turning it into something that had been trampled through or just died. There'll be tree stumps that were trees that were cut down for reasons that you're not quite sure. The landlady in my old house, she just decided to chop down all the trees one day. Oh. You sent around a guy with a fucking chainsaw and he chopped down all the trees. And I was like, why? Why has this happened? Yeah. This is just an act of casual violence for no reason that I could see. So then it just became an even sadder garden. One point I had a washing machine out there that was actually a sculptor that I'd had made of a poster that I had of my show. So I had a washing machine turned into a living being. So that was out in the garden, rotting. It was partly my fault. that was out there just staring back.
Yeah.
But it just reminds you of what is always there is they're looking back at you.
I always telling
you what the house is.
Yeah, man. I always find like old.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Kids, like plastic, like, you know, them little cars that little, like, three-year-old kids get in and they push them around with their feet and they're yellow, stained and covered in soil and it's just like, what's happened here?
Them sort of gardens, they look like somebody's gone to a boot sale at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and someone's just gone, look, mate, just take it all. You can have all of this, mate, for like, just get a tenner and take it all. And then they've just thrown it straight in their back garden. Just all the stuff that you can't sell or give away at a boot sale. Like, collect it all up and dump it in a garden. Just thinking of like, it really popped into my head that I remember watching a show, like one of these like makeover shows about this student house and these people moved into the student house and one of them was a boxer, like an aspiring boxer. And there was nowhere for him to put his punch bag. So he went in the loft and basically hung it from the middle of the loft, but couldn't move around his punch bag. So he cut off all of the joists and just fucked the house completely. Oh. Like literally, it was all just collapsing in because not only had he removed all of the joists, but then put a massive fucking punch bag in the middle of it and started cracking it. Collapsed and ruined the house.
Oh my God.
Not a lot of space up here. Let's get rid of these things. They're in the way.
Yeah, what are they for? They're wasted.
He's removed all the supports and then he's gone. The last support, he's pounded the shit out.
Yeah, took the supports down, thrown them on the fire pit.
He's got to do his training.
Exactly, mate, exactly.
Some landlord probably planted all those, got some planters, put some plants in there and thought, the tenants are going to look after that. No, they're not.
Yeah.
They've got enough shit going.
Don't say this. I'm literally about to start renting my house.
No, your house is going to become just like a cum dumpster, mate. Your sofas are going to be wrecked.
Oh, dear. I've never done anything like this, but I've got to vet tenants to rent my house. And, I don't know where to start with it. Because it's your home, isn't it? Yeah. Like, you're going to be a bit tetchy. Like, I don't know.
There's an added level of personal.
And you've got like, 20 minutes to just completely judge someone.
Yeah. Get some DNA samples.
Yeah.
Hair.
Swabs. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's not
bad. Can you just wank into this cup, please?
You've already got your trousers off, so.
It's true. That 20 minutes, that's a factor. That was definitely in my top 100 reasons, which I've compiled. But you know, when you've got to get a new flatmate, someone moves out, so you've also got that dreaded thing that the vibe is about to shift. seismically. It's like when the guitarist leaves the band and the new guy comes in and you're like, this is not the guitarist. This is not Bernard Butler. Why is this guy here? You know what I mean?
He looks like Bernard Butler.
Yeah, he's got good hair. They've tried to find someone who looks good, but he's too young for the band. Bernard Butler, to be fair, was quite young for the band. But do you know what I mean? They find some bloke who's just a really good session guitarist. Yeah. And you're like, okay, you can play the songs, but it's like, hasn't got the story. But yeah, someone that you have to replace a flatmate. It's horrible.
Yeah.
Actually, do you know what? It's worse. It's replacing the front man. Oh, unforgivable. Tough. Can't do it. Never do it.
Yeah.
In excess. Come on. Mm. I get it. You're a band. You've got to stay together forever, but you can't just have a 30-year-old bloke in leather trousers.
Do you know who fronted them for one tour?
Who?
Terence Trent D'Arby.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. They got Terence Trent D'Arby in, like, probably not long after Hutchins went, and they decided they were going to come back. Then I think they done, like, a kind of a reality show where they found a singer to front in excess. I mean, they're big shoes to fill, right? I mean, Michael Hutchins was a pretty impressive showman, wasn't he, for a band?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because it's the same with Kasabian now, right? Now Tom's gone. It's like Serge has stepped up, and it's like, is that going to work? I don't know.
Just feels wrong.
Who was the front man for the Doors when they came over and done it, like, back in, like...
Ian Astonbury, the Cult.
That was fucking good, that was.
Yeah, that was always going to work.
Yeah, it was good. Really good. I just finished my uni. They'd legalised magic mushrooms for like about 3 months in the UK. And me and two mates.
I love the fact they booked a Doors tour as soon as they found out.
Literally, me and two mates just went to Camden, obviously, bought some skull ashtrays and a load of magic mushrooms. And but we came up in there. It was an amazing gig, but we couldn't get out of the venue. We were just so off our bollocks. Yeah. Like when they stopped, we made ourselves at home half naked in the back rows.
Yeah.
And people, like, we thought it was great. And then when the lights all came on and people just saw us three just standing there, like, just absolutely spaced out, it took a bit of a bad turn then. But it was really good. Like, he smashed it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I always have to ask who covered it because I can't remember.
Yeah, he got a voice on him, he has.
Yeah, yeah. It was cracking.
Yeah, right. He's got a big range, isn't he?
Yeah, massively. Massively. Right, are we at the top spot now?
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Number one.
Oh, jeez.
The Garden's broken my heart a little bit.
Yeah, that was quite a tragic one.
Driving home later, that conversation's going to crop back up in my head.
Just a plastic chair on its side.
Yeah.
Just image, a mop in a hedge.
Yeah.
a broken mop bucket.
Yeah.
Just sitting there, filling with rainwater.
That's it, yeah. It's gone brown.
There's always some empty beer cans. Like, just a few of them.
Yes, a disused hose.
Do you know what I've had in my garden for years that for some reason I just think I'll just throw that away?
Carol.
My kids are like, 20 now, and it's like, why have I still got that sledge? Like, I think I used that sledge once in their whole life, and it's like, but I've still got a wooden sledge in my garden, and it's like, probably get rid of that.
You might need it one day.
Yeah, I know. That's it.
How hoarding starts, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thing of this, I will one day, and I'll be so happy that I kept it.
Yeah.
Because it is a beautiful thing when you've used something that you've had and you've never used for years. You do feel glad.
Yeah. I've got about 2 wardrobes full of shirts that I've got that relationship with. Like, I'll get back in them one day. They'll definitely fit again soon.
You've still got your wedding suit.
Can't throw them. No. Get rid of that. Fucking hell. That was the worst.
Maybe after your missus kicks you out, you might go on a mad health drive and become one of those terrifying wellness men.
Yeah.
Covering frantically from divorce.
Yeah. I think that's exactly what I'd be. Probably get some moral advice tattoos. I could see myself easily doing that, just replacing that massive void with just going to the gym.
Pumping iron.
It's such a fucking, any time, like at my age, lots of my mates have experienced divorce. And all of a sudden, they go from looking like tired old wrecks to looking like absolute ripped machines. But you try and have conversations with them. And unless they're not talking about protein shakes, they're literally just swiping online dating. because they've just literally balls deep in Devil Seas. Yeah.
Man,
that's a great name for an album, Matt.
Sounds like a dream. Balls deep in Devil
Seas. Whose album would it be?
That's the question. The Blockheads.
That's nice. I'm balls deep in Devil Seas.
Oh,
that'd be a good
dear.
Comeback.
Right, where are we at?
Number one.
Number one.
Now, this is a weird one, and it does touch on stuff we've already said, but this is one that I cannot abide, is when I've just got in and I'm just enjoying being in and then someone else gets in. I hate it. I hate it so much. Hate it. So you just got in, you put your keys down,
yep.
You're in the kitchen, alone, beautiful, making a tea, just drifting around, and then bang, the front door closes. They come in with their just got in energy. And then suddenly you're not the just got in guy. They're the just got in guy. And they look at you as if you're a scumbag who never leaves the house. And you know you've just got in.
Yeah.
And I love just getting in. It's a beautiful feeling.
Yeah.
But when someone else just gets in straight after, I just feel angry. I feel like my identity has been stolen. I feel judged. I feel irritated. I feel so many emotions all at once. So if I just got in, let me just get in for a few hours.
Yeah.
Let alone a minute.
Can you like message your like other housemates? Like, I'm just about to be getting in. Can you not get in for a couple of hours?
Yeah.
Let me get in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's also that there's also the vague suggestion that they might have been walking behind you on the pavement.
Yeah, didn't they know?
And watching you. Yeah. So that also changes that story. You thought you were walking along, having a nice walk on your own.
Mm.
Off grid, and now it turns out you might have been observed while you were walking, and then you've gone in thinking you were living one life, and then they've been walking behind you the whole time, and they just get in. It feels like your world is closing in.
It's closed.
Don't
in
like it,
because you was going to relax once you got in, and now you're thinking about them walking behind you.
Yeah,
it's just you're trapped. No
you,
escape.
You got to be switched. You got to be on again, ain't you? When you want to be off.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fucking hell.
You've suddenly got to be asking them, how are you? Oh, how are your day? Where have you come from? I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care how you are. I don't care where you've been. But now I have to ask.
Yeah, yeah, because you can't just, you can't just ignore them like you can
well,
your
you
fiancé.
You can.
Yeah.
But it's frowned upon, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like you know, losing a sneeze. You're about to sneeze. You know that pleasure's coming.
Yeah.
Hold on. I do it like around people, just 2 seconds. And then the pressure of them watching me, and then the sneeze goes, oh, I'm not coming now. And I just think, I just missed out on a fucking sneeze there.
Or that feeling that you've put in the top spot of your top five, something that's just not quite as good as number three.
Number three.
That feeling.
Right.
Yeah,
we'll
number three.
We'll
rearrange it, mate.
If you like, do some dodgy graphics on my mouth.
It's amazing what you can do with AI, mate.
In at number one. AI, just fix it up. Yeah, there's no excuse for poor entertainment in the modern world.
Not
is there?
Anymore, mate. Not anymore. Oh, fantastic!
It's too niche. I get it. It's too niche. But I remember saying, I've written it down time and time again. When I've just got in, don't just get in. And trying to find my crowd. It's a tough one to find a crowd.
That
for this
is
bit.
Very tough. When you've only got 20 minutes to go, do you scrape the shit off the toilet after you've pooed? Like, where do you get to, don't get in after I've just got in? Is that question number one?
Yeah, especially when most people don't live in house shares, it turns out. All around the country, I ask people who lives in a house share, most people don't. Oh. So, you know, it's a London thing. Or a big city thing.
Yeah.
And definitely. The young people say it's not for 42-year-olds to be living in flat shit. So
what's the deal? Because my best mate, he flat shared. He owned the flat and one of our mates moved in. And as you said, it's a recipe for disaster. They're no longer mates. But one of the things that really ground his gears, and he's a comedian as well, actually, but his flatmate used to come in all the time and sing around the house.
Well,
wait for it. But whatever song he was singing, he'd sing it in the style of Brian Molko from Placebo. So all of the songs he would sing would sound like Brian. And he said, I used to just think, fucking shut up. Because like every time, like a song would be on the TV, or he'd have stereo on, or if he'd just come in, he'd like literally be singing up the path. And it felt like the minute he undone the door, he went, "Tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be Brian Molko," and just switched into Molko mode. Fuck that.
Yeah.
And there's also the element of knowing that he would do it as well. So when someone does a thing that you know they're about to do,
you're already angry.
Yeah,
you're angry because you go, "I know what you're going to do." And then they do it. It's like you can guess, you start to feel like your whole life is on repeat. It's like, no, this is not the life I want.
No.
And then you dread hearing music in the house because you know what's going to come. You know he's going to start singing it.
Yeah.
Neighbours. Everybody needs their neighbours. Anything. Yeah. So don't be predictable. But except for me, I'm allowed to be predictable. But everyone else, please, just mix it up.
Absolutely.
You need to be liked and entertained. But yeah, the other way, you shouldn't have to entertain them when you come get up first. Yeah. It's fair, Tom. Absolutely fair, mate.
Absolutely.
Did you have any...
Go on.
No, go on, mate.
I was going to say, if I don't want to talk to you when you just got in, I shouldn't have to. But if I'm in the room when you come in, you bloody well ask me how I am, how my day's gone, how my last gig was.
Make you a nice tea in your Sports Direct mug.
Yeah.
Ooh, I guess we should ask about what's happening with aside from moving into a house with your partner and the joy of having a baby, which is amazing. What's happening in career wise? What's happening? What's coming up?
Doing a tour. I'm doing doing Edinburgh Festival.
Amazing.
With the new baby, which is asking for trouble. living with my girlfriend, a baby, and my girlfriend's mum.
For the whole of Edinburgh?
Whole month, yeah. So that's probably we could do a second episode of this, if you like, in September.
Can't wait, yeah.
Me with white hair and
beefed just up, jittery. Been down the gym. Now living in a camper van.
Right, lads.
Listening to Balls Deep in Devil Seas on repeat.
Yeah. No, check these ones out. No, I'm just a little... Those guys who show you who they've met on their apps. Like, I don't care, mate. We can all order a Deliveroo. I don't need to see what you've ordered.
Oh, it's just someone they've matched with. My mate would show me.
Well
look
done.
Who I've matched with. It's like
brilliant.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
But you know what? Until you come back when you've actually met a woman in the real world and spoken to her, got her number, met up with her. That's impressive to me now.
Yeah.
I used to talk to girls on the night bus or in a shop or in a pub. I remember being on a night bus and chatting to a girl because she was reading a book by someone I'd read. Brilliant. Ideal. Yeah. Oh, good book. And I was reading another book similar to the one she was reading. Bang. We get off the bus, go back to mine. Bish, bash, bosh.
An authentic mate. Although she'd been reading that book for months and Tom for months had been sat behind her. Trying to catch the name of the author. Was JK what? Is that?
Yeah. Series 5 of You. Hello, you. Oh, Harry Potter.
Oh, wonderful. So Edinburgh's coming up and...
Yeah, and then a tour. I'm doing a tour from September. I'm doing my second UK tour and a couple of dates in Ireland as well. So it's called Choose Your Delusion, and that'll be from September 23rd. So, yeah.
Amazing.
What's the premise of Choose Your Delusion, mate?
It's all about, I guess... how you can all just live the reality you want, you know, and just move the mental furniture around to make it fit to whoever you want to be and whoever, you know, and how like our attitudes and morals and ethics are all quite malleable essentially. And you can sort of just add your reasons for things after the event and change your mind. If you get Saudi Arabia coming and offering $500,000 to go over there and play a bit of football,
it's fine.
I know I said that I was very anti that, but it's fine. So people, it's all just the kind of ways that we build up our sense of reality and how it's all kind of quite thin.
Yeah.
Sounds, not, doesn't sound funny, does it?
Sounds really depressing, but...
it's got lots of voices and
this is a comedy.
Wacky breakouts, though. There's little jingles and stuff. Yeah.
Tom, I've heard you do loads. Have you got any other... I've heard you do it in the past where you sometimes put things to music. And have you got any... Putting any music to it?
Definitely. Definitely. There'll be songs. There'll be adverts. Yeah. There'll be all that stuff.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And if people want to find out about getting tickets and stuff, where's the best place to keep up the speed with you, mate?
You could go to Tom Ward, Comedian. On my Instagram that's probably the best way, or just type in Tom Ward Comedy Tour, you'll find it. But Instagram's a good one. That's where all my stuff is, all my clips are. and all the info about the tour. So, yeah.
We'll tag you in this when it comes out. So if people aren't following you already, then they can go over there and get tickets to the show.
Nice.
Tom, been a pleasure.
Thanks so much, mate, for coming on and having a nap with us.
Hey, loved it. Loved it. Brilliant.
Oh, thanks for having me on. Fantastic.
Nick that BAFTA.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's good, BAFTA, yeah.
I just want to say thank you for having me, guys. To say that I was the best guest you've ever had is really just wonderful. Thank you. I mean, I'm humbled.
Yeah.
And when I say humbled, I mean like really full of myself.
There's the clip. There's the clip to promo that episode. We're going to press stop. Don't go anywhere, Tom.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.